The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, beginning with the 11th verse. This is our Gospel for today, this third Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, what do you do when someone you know has a loved one who dies? Now, we all follow certain customs and traditions, and each region has differing customs. But perhaps you are in the habit of visiting the funeral home for the visitation to pay your respects to the deceased or to offer your condolences. Maybe you attend the actual funeral itself. Some are in the habit of sending flowers to the funeral home. Others give a memorial gift to whatever place the deceased has chosen. When you finally come across that person you know who's grieving from the loss of a loved one, what do you say? Perhaps you've said something of the sort that many of us, or most of us, have probably said. Well, I'm sorry for your loss. As if you have to apologize for their loved one dying, as if it's your own fault. Now, there are reasons why we follow those certain customs and traditions. There are reasons why we do certain things and say certain phrases at the death of someone we know. But have you ever wondered why you do those things? What's the purpose? Or a better question, what comfort does it give? What comfort is there in sending flowers or memorial gifts? Sure, it's nice to know that you care about them, and it's nice to hear that you're sorry that their loved one has passed, but that really doesn't offer any real comfort. Our text for today takes place right after last week's gospel. Jesus was in the beginning of his ministry, but by his miracles and his teaching, he was beginning to gather quite the following. He had just healed the centurion's servant in Capernaum. And now he's heading toward Nain, about 25 miles away. And his disciples and a large crowd were following along with Jesus. No doubt they were excited. No doubt they were listening to Jesus as he preached and teach God's word. And they were just happy to be with him. But as this large, excited crowd got close to the town called Nain, they met another crowd. A sad and somber crowd, because it was a funeral procession. A young man had died. This young man was the only son of his mother, and his mother was a widow. Now, according to Jewish custom then, the friends of the widow would have done all the work and all the funeral planning. They would have hired musicians, professional mourners, and an orator who talked about the good deeds of the dead. They had washed the body, they had wrapped it in spices and in linen, put it on a wooden plank on which to carry it to the tomb, which was outside of town, and then they would have had that somber procession. The body was first, followed by the widow, and then everyone else behind her, and everyone was beating their breasts and wailing and crying. The large crowd indicates that the entire town mourned with the woman and felt her pain. But just imagine that scene as everyone's crying and wailing. The Jewish customs of the time did not mention eternal life, the resurrection from the dead. All that mourning, all that crying didn't really offer her any real comfort. Speaking of the good deeds of her son, didn't raise her son from the dead, and she had no hope of eternal life. Just crying and wailing. They're common at funerals, even today, because death is sad. Death is painful. Death is unnatural. God never intended for body and soul to be separated, but sin ruined God's perfect creation. Because we're all sinners, We're all going to die. There's nothing we can do to avoid it. It's a fate that we all face. And all your loved ones will die. No one finds delight in the death of a loved one. Many of us have or will bury our parents. Half of you will bury your spouse. Some of you may even bury your own child. Death may happen to everyone, but death still hurts, especially when it's your loved one who dies. And sometimes even a believer can fall into despair when death strikes, thinking, you know, I'm not sure if I can go on. I'm all alone in this world. No one really cares about me. It could happen that we sit down and pout and feel sorry for ourselves and think as if our lives are over when a loved one dies. I'm not saying that it's not right to mourn and weep and cry at the funeral of a loved one. But it is a sin to fall into the feeling of despair and hopelessness and think all is lost because of death. When faced with our own mortality or the death of one we love, it often brings out our character. For better or for worse, sometimes death brings out the worst in people, and the same can be said about what's in our heart. What we believe, where our hope lies, what is truly important in our life, that often shows when we are staring at death ourselves or when we are trying to overcome the loss of someone we love. How we react and what we trust in and what's important to us at those times indicates what we truly believe. And how we comfort someone, what we say to someone who is mourning the death of a loved one, that too indicates where our hope and comfort lies. So this joyful crowd, this crowd walking with Jesus, the crowd listening to him and it was excited to hear him teach, runs into this sad, somber funeral procession. Imagine the sight. It would be like a parade running into a funeral procession today. Who yields to whom? Well, even today, common decency dictates that we yield to a funeral procession. We might pull over for it. We certainly aren't going to interrupt it. Just out of courtesy. You can just imagine this large, excited crowd all of a sudden becomes sad and stoic. Maybe bows their heads and folds their hands and saying, shh, a funeral procession. But then what did Jesus do? He interrupted that funeral procession. He walked right up to it, said something to the widow, and touched the coffin so that it would stand still. Was Jesus aware of this faux pas that he had just done? Was he inconsiderate of the people who were mourning the death of their loved one? Of course not. The exact opposite is actually true. Jesus knew the entire situation. As God, he knew that this young man was only son of his mother. His mother was a widow. Back in Jesus' day in Israel, women didn't work. It was up to the man of the house, the husband, to provide for the women of the house. And if the father died, well, then it was the sons who got a job and who worked and provided for the women of the house. The father is dead. The son is now dead. She had no one to care for her, to provide for her, to take care of her. Eventually, she would lose all her money. No way to buy clothes or food. She would eventually probably lose her home and die a slow and painful death. She was in a desperate situation. No one to be with her, to love her, to support her. All the people who were friends and the hired professionals who mourned and wailed and beat their breasts, didn't offer this woman any comfort. The Jewish funeral practices of the time did not talk about that resurrection of the dead or the sure hope of eternal life. So Jesus' heart went out to her. He had compassion on that widow. And this word for compassion is not any ordinary word for compassion. This word is only used to describe the sort of compassion that Jesus has on us, his believers. We might call it a heartfelt, a deep compassion from the bottom of his heart. The Greek word, indicates that it comes from the bowels, which was the seat of feelings and emotions for the Jews. Something that came from deep within Christ. Not a shallow compassion, but a deep heartfelt from the bottom of his heart compassion. His heart went out to the Lord, to this woman. And the Lord said to her, "Don't cry." Her pitiful state moved him to mercy, and he rescued her from her pain. He is telling her, "Do not worry. There is no reason to be sad. There is no reason to cry, for I am with you and I will make everything okay." So he went up to the coffin and said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Have you ever seen someone talk to a corpse in a coffin? When you're at a funeral, or at the viewing, you see that from time to time. Someone will come up and speak to the corpse. But no one speaking to a corpse expects that body to actually hear you. No one expects that body to respond or to suddenly rise from the dead and begin speaking again. But Jesus expected that because he's not like us. He is the Lord God who has power over death. And instantly, when Jesus told that dead body to rise from the dead, that dead body, that dead life was cold corpse, was warm and alive once again, and immediately sat up and began to talk with no side effects whatsoever. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the power of our Lord. By just speaking, by just saying the word, the dead became alive. Death has to listen to Jesus whenever he speaks. Now, as great and as wonderful and as amazing as this miracle is, that he has power over death, it's not squarely where our focus falls on today. Notice what Jesus did after he brought this young man back from the dead. Luke says that he gave her back to his mother. Again, we notice Jesus' mercy and compassion. He didn't raise this young man from the dead for the sake of this young man, but for the sake of his mother. So that his mother wouldn't be alone, so that she would be taken care of, so that she would be provided for, so that she would have the sure hope and the comfort of the resurrection from the dead and the sure hope of eternal life. In Jesus' compassionate power, he raised this young man from the dead for the sake of his mother. As Jesus had compassion on this widow, he also has compassion on us. He knows the sting of death. He knows the pain we feel when a loved one dies and the anxiety we face when we are staring at our own death. He knows how helpless and hopeless we are to avoid death. And his heart goes out to us. Compassion is not all that Christ had. He had compassionate power, the power to overcome that death. We can show compassion all we want, but we cannot raise someone from the dead unlike Christ. This is the first out of three times that Jesus, during his ministry, raised someone from the dead. But something greater that he did for the whole world happened at the end of his life, or after his life. 3 days after he died, he rose from the dead, just as he said he would. Just as death had to listen to Jesus when he spoke, death could not hold Jesus down, could not hold Jesus back. His body did not see decay, but he rose from the dead. And he promises us, because I live, you also will live. And whoever believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever believes in me will never die. The gift of eternal life has been won for us by Christ's resurrection from the dead, and received only through faith in him. All who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Paul calls Jesus the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus is the first. And Jesus' resurrection then is proof that there's more to come. Sure, we're all going to die and our bodies will decay in the ground. But when we die, our soul lives on. The soul of believers lives on in heaven forever. And on the last day, Christ will raise our bodies from the dead. With just his words. Give life once again to our bodies. And give us glory beyond what we can imagine. And then our bodies will join our souls in heaven, and we will enjoy that perfect life with our Savior forever. Death then for the Christian is not something to fear. The death of a loved one is not something that we have to fall into despair or a feeling and hopelessness. But we rejoice. Because our loved one has passed from this veil of tears and has received the crown of life because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the Lord's compassionate power that led him to give life to the lifeless body of this young boy, this son of a widow. He proved by just his words his victory over death, and by his resurrection he showed us that he has power over death. And if Jesus has power over death, then he certainly has power over the things that cause death. And if he has power over the things that cause death, he has power over all things in his entire creation. But not just power, but also compassion. Again, he knows the pain of death. He knows how much it hurts. He has compassion on us. His heart goes out to us and he cares for us. He's not some aloof God who stands up on his throne in heaven and turns his head whenever we suffer. He had loved ones who died. He faced the anxiety of his own death. And his heart goes out to us. He says to us, don't cry. Everything's going to be all right. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of you. And in the end, I will take you and give you a perfect life in heaven where you will be reunited with all your loved ones and all believers. After Jesus raised this young man from the dead, there's no longer two crowds, one excited, one sad, but one crowd, all filled with awe and wonder for the Lord. And they couldn't help but praise God for what Jesus had done. And then the news spread about this great and merciful miracle. They couldn't contain themselves. They had to tell others about Jesus' power and glory. What do you do? What do you say when someone you know has a loved one who dies? Follow whatever customs you want. There's nothing wrong with giving flowers or memorials or something of the like. But remember where true comfort lies. Not in gifts. Not in talking about what this person had accomplished in his earthly life. True comfort lies in Christ alone. Don't be afraid to follow the example of that crowd and give the comfort of Jesus. To tell others who are suffering and mourning the loss of a loved one about Christ, who has power over death, who has promised eternal life to all who believe in Him. For it is in His compassionate power, and in nothing else, that our hope is found. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.